During that break, that was the South Sudanese national anthem. We are about to talk with Baynard Woods. Baynard Woods, of course, is the senior editor for the Baltimore City Paper. On the way there, reminding you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues impacting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org. Now with Baynard Woods, senior editor for the Baltimore City Paper. Baynard, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Before we jump into what's happening in this issue, I found that your New Year's resolutions for Baltimore were particularly interesting, as I did Tom Talkie's cartoon. I love Tom.
He does a great job.
So talk about, this is interesting, talk about what you picked out here, like get the murder rate under 200, financial and performance audits for every city department at departmental level, help people, not corporations, and stop busting do-it-yourself arts venues and start encouraging them. Let's start with those.
Yeah, I mean, so mainly this whole list came out of our coverage throughout the year, and some of the things that continued to frustrate us, and as you cover something, murders week after week is in the murdering column. Why is this happening that we can't get a really modest goal of getting murders below 200 murders in a city of this size per year? And so especially those three really grew out of the kinds of things that we've over the course of the year have been seeing week after week after week. And especially the get the murder rate under 200 was really motivated kind of by an anger at ourselves as citizens, at the city, officials, the police department, at not being able to accomplish this goal, and that we as a city can and have to do better. And, you know, while admitting that it's a very difficult thing to figure out, you know, and for us as a paper to say do this, that doesn't necessarily mean that happens. And the same with the audits. You know, this has been going on, and all the mayor saying that to do audits will actually lose taxpayers' money instead of saving taxpayers' money. This week's feature on Brandon Scott, the youngest council member, who seems like he would be a very technocrat kind of guy, would support audits, but of course is sort of a protege of the mayor and turned out being mostly against audits. So again, it's a thing that seems over the course of the years like it would really make sense, like it's something that every other city does. And so we just wonder, why is this something that we can't do? And the DIY art spaces was really a little bit different because it came up this year and it had happened in the past, but it last year really wasn't as much of an issue. But then in 2013, as the mayor saying, we need to use the vibrancy of the arts districts to bring 10,000 families to the city, at the same time, where artists are creating these really vibrant venues, the police are coming in and really, in some cases, being way more hostile than they need to be in raiding these venues, shutting them down. And they're not in places where there are going to be noise complaints. And in one case, they, in fact, had done exactly what they're supposed to do, had hired off-duty officers as security, who then, when it was being raided, apparently ran off from the scene and didn't even talk to their fellow officers about doing this. So that one was a little bit different in being something that specifically in four cases this year we'd covered. And so it seemed again like there was a contradiction in what the city wants and then what the city is causing to happen or doing.
I think that I think these things what you're leading here are really important discussions. They all could be discussions in their own right. I don't think anybody's really, we've covered a lot of the question on audits, and we have to keep pushing that. But the idea of using our money to help people, not corporations, or the stop busting these art venues, I think anybody's really covered that but you.
The helping people, not corporations, I think is really a big idea rather than a sort of a small policy prescription. But that, as you know, it seems to be what the city does, is trying to bring in big name convention centers, giving TIFFs, really redefining what it means to be an impoverished area, to help through federal programs, and it enriches developers, enriches corporations, while all of the people are continuing to struggle year after year. And so that's sort of a really big idea that we acknowledge in the prescription. Everyone on the ground would agree with, and no one who's in a position to implement would ever implement, because it's really not in their interest, but it's in the interest of all of us.
I'll let you know we're going to do your piece on Produce More College-Ready Graduates. We'll be talking with our new interim CEO in the next hour about that particular article that you all put out. But what's going on in this particular issue?
Well, so as I mentioned a minute ago, we have Ed Erickson did a great profile of Brandon Scott, youngest council member, who really has a lot of what it takes to maybe, I mean, the question that Ed really asks is, he's got a lot going for him, he's a super bright guy. It starts with him in the snow, making sure that the streets are plowed, but then wondering if he has what it takes to question the donor class and really challenge things. And it, you know, as we've talked about it a little bit, one of the things that seems to be going on in politics in general is you have all of these bright people like that coming up, but you wonder if anyone can really be an insurgent and ask the kind of really, really hard questions that need to be answered to make some of these big kinds of changes and still get elected and still have the people, you know, like in this case, the mayor, support you and help you get into office. And so it's a really great political profile. Some of the kind of stuff that I'm really most proud of that we're able to do, look at people not just when there's a big immediate issue, but to let people know who is, you know, on a daily basis, who are the players that are making this city what it is. And so I think it's a great story that Ed, at one of his great sort of profiles. We've also got some really good, you know, my beat mainly being arts is have some really exciting art stuff coming up. Coco Fusco is coming to town on Monday. And Brett McCabe did a great interview with her asking about the role of aesthetics and violence in the military and in the world in general. But she's the first person to come through the co-host exhibition speaker series for the Revived Contemporary, formerly the Contemporary Museum.
Right.
And in this case, partnering with Guest Spot at the Re-Institute to bring Coco Fusco to the Baltimore School for the Arts to really have this conversation. One of the great pieces that Brett talks about with her that she's not going to be doing here, but she dresses like the psychologist from Planet of the Apes to look at early 21st century human aggression from a sort of really outside perspective and look at the ways in which we are really animalistic and violent to each other. So I think that's going to be a really, really exciting.
Now, when is she coming? She's amazing. She's the Cuban-American. She's an amazing thinker and artist. When is she coming to town?
That's going to be on Monday night at the Baltimore School of the Arts.
Okay.
And that's the first that they're going to be having about every month now, a new speaker come in, all of this same kind of caliber as Coco Fusco, with the new director of the Contemporary, Dina Hagag, is doing an amazing job at reviving that organization, which went sort of dormant.
Right, back absolutely.
So that's a really exciting thing. And then, you know, the BMA's got, in a few weeks opening up, their German Expressionism show. And I find that really interesting because there have been a lot of local small shows that seem influenced by German Expressionism, and one of them is Adam Estes' show up at the Metro Gallery, which really has a feeling of almost the Lascaux Cave paintings all the way up through German Expressionism, while also being really original. And so I saw his show last year and was really impressed by the amount that he's grown in the course of the year. And so I think that comes down after this weekend. So that's really a show not to miss, Memento Mori by Adam Estes at the Metro Gallery.
I've not seen that one yet. So I need to do that before that's taken down. So
I mean, it's tough, Mark. There's so many great shows and stuff going on that it's really hard to see them all. One of the other things that I was really excited about this week, there's a artist named Wendell Patrick, a musician who's also named Kevin Gift, and he's got this fascinating story where about 2006, he'd been a classical pianist, a professor at Loyola, had been playing since he was three, and he had a neurological disorder that made one of his fingers curl up and that he couldn't use it to play.
Right.
And devastated his life. He, you know, it had been everything to him. And so as a result, he started making electronic music and hip-hop. And his son, he did the 40 Years of Hip-Hop show up at the Wind-Up, bringing together classical musicians and MCs, and it was a great thing. But he just put out four albums, three under the name Wendell Patrick, which was a brother of his who died when he was young. He started using that name when he did hip-hop, and then one under his name, Kevin Gift, that he was able to come back and reteach himself to play piano without using that finger at all. And so it's an amazing story, and it's amazing music. We have three of the songs up on our website, along with the story there. And he's really a talented and really brilliant guy.
We have to go to break here, and I always appreciate it. Do we have time to get this call in real fast? Marie, let me get you on the air. We only have like 20 seconds, so please jump into it.
Good morning.
Hey, we only have 20 seconds.
January 11th, Reginald Lewis Museum, 1 o'clock. The topic is criminalization of African Americans in the past and in the contemporary times. It includes a film segment from Slavery by Another Name. Register first at call 443-263-1875. You got to call that number.
We'll put that on our website as well. Thank you so much for that information. I saw it up there. I didn't want to miss that. Thank you so much, Marie.
Bye bye.
Thank you. And Ben Woods, always great to have you on the show with us. It's an editor from Baltimore City Paper. Get the issue this month and check all this stuff out yourself. This is inspiring me to go back to stuff we did in the old days, which is maybe having an arts cultural piece at the end of the week to let people know what's going on between the City Paper and the Arizona Ralph Lewis. I think we could build some great bridges and have some great conversations. We'll begin to do that soon in the coming month. Brandon Woods, thank you so much, brother. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Mark Hayden. Congratulations on your honor from the nation.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Bye-bye. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by the interim CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools, Tisha Edwards. Stay tuned and join that conversation. Don't go away.